Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some stories aren't just ghost tales, they're actually more like warnings.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a real ghost story, y'all know how much we love to hear them. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. Advance episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Harper, girl, how you doing today?
I am good. How are you?
Pretty good, I think. Everything's going pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
So
it's spooky season,
or
as I like to call it, Stevie Nicks season.
It is.
I got my pumpkin spice latte going, like, here. I got my little loaf of pumpkin bread. Love it.
And I might also add that you are going to see Stevie Nicks during this Stevie Nicks season.
I am so excited for that.
I love never Stevie. Seen her. And it's not fair, Harper, because I am so much older than you. And I have loved her since I was, like, really young, and I've never seen her. And you got to go see her in Las Vegas, of all places.
I know, right? I'm so excited. I love Stevie. I've loved her, like, honestly, probably since I was in kindergarten, when I first heard Dreams playing on my dad's record player.
See, and I know you've got so much of your dad in you, but it's fun when you were here. It was fun to see what music you really gravitate to and how you really do love some of that older Fleetwood Mac sound. Like, there was a lot of music that I really like that you are so into, and you sing every word.
Fleetwood Mac, America. There's this new one I really like right now called, her name is Sophia Isella. Oh my gosh, I love her music. She's so good.
Where did I see her recently? I came across her somewhere, and I was very intrigued by her. I don't remember where that was.
She has, like, a very spooky yet kind of comforting sound. I don't know how to describe it. It's just there's something so whimsical about her music.
Well, and you will appreciate this. So my sister gave me a new Bose speaker, not Kathy, another sister. She gave me a Bose speaker. So you know what the first thing I listened to on that was?
Fleetwood Mac?
Hamilton.
Oh my gosh, I went to go see that in theaters, actually, with my best friend.
We
I
both
love her
went
so much.
Over the weekend to see Hamilton in the theater, and apparently where I went, they didn't give any shits, and they just put it up there and never paid any attention that any close-up shot, their foreheads were cut off. Like, at times, George Washington, he's singing over there, but we just can't see him. And you had a great experience.
I had a fantastic experience. In fact, it was so funny because me and my best friend, we met these two girls. Like, they were the sweetest lady. They were the sweetest girls ever. And I was like, hey, does anyone have any mascara? Because I saw some, because we all had seen some other people, like, walking around with mascara beards on.
Because they're like Alexander Hamilton.
Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson. So this one girl goes, I have mascara. And I'm like, can I do what they're doing? And she's like, absolutely, I'll do it with you. So I convinced my best friend, this whole group of girls, to do beards with me. And it was so funny because at the beginning of the movie, look, me and my best friend, we are jamming out. And, like, for some reason, like, the food at my theater was so good. I don't even know why this was so specific to the story, but it just was, okay? The fries are crunchy. We're dipping them in ranch because that's the ultimate fry sauce. You can fight me on it.
I won't.
And we are just jamming out. And at the beginning of the movie, it will say, like, this is, like, you can sing. Like, you're allowed to sing during this.
I saw the movie. He says that.
Exactly. Like, what is it? Like, John, like, I think they all say that at some point. They all have, like, a little moment where they say, like, oh, yeah, like, we're, like, we want you to sing because that's what it's for. This movie is, like, for a whole, like, it's a group of people coming together in the dark to watch this movie, to, like, enjoy it, too. So tell me why. Me and my best friend, we're singing. We're jamming out. This is, like, Skylar Sisters is playing. And I'm
Angelica.
Like, Eliza. Aunt Peggy.
I always sing it, Aunt Peggy.
And Burr is about to start talking about Summer in the City again when this other girl next to us, like, looks like, yells at my best friend because this woman's, like, to her right, I think, and goes, bro, shut up, to my best friend. And my wonderful, 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 wonderful best friend. I love this girl so much. Like, I have been with her through thick and thin. She's been with me through thick and thin. Like, we're inseparable, okay? I consider this girl family. She doesn't take shit from anybody, though. So she goes, hey, Harper, you want to go to the bathroom real quick? Because we would pass by their seats if we went to the bathroom right then and there. And I'm like, yeah, I want to get a drink refill too. And I don't know this until we like reach the bathrooms. My best friend turns to me and she goes, I flipped them off while we were walking out. And I'm like, girl, don't be doing that. I love you for it, but you can't be doing that.
You don't know these people. Like, there's a lot of crazy people in the world.
It's like, I agree with you, but let's not, you know?
I thought it was really fun to see it on a big screen. And, you know, you could sit at home and watch the same thing. But there's just the experience of watching it with other people. And
it was an amazing movie. They did so well on it. And, like, to see Leslie Odom Jr.'s face that close, I could count the pores on his skin. Yeah.
Well, and he's back on Broadway in that role. And it's pretty dang cool. I had a friend who was there last night or sometime over the weekend, maybe, because she put together this whole little video thing. She's like a sports influencer in New York. And it was pretty dang cool that she got to go. And she's like, I just treated myself. I took myself.
Girl, what I wouldn't give, okay?
Oh, my God, no kidding. Well, do you want to talk about a scary story?
I would love to talk about a scary story.
Okay, so this is about Ouija boards. And this is just use this as a public service announcement since we're going into that season about Ouija board awareness. Okay? So it
Ouija
says,
Ouija board awareness month.
Yes. It says, this letter has been a long time coming. Real Ghost Stories Online asked listeners to share their true paranormal experiences, so here you go. I'm a busy mom, a wife, and an employee. Finding time to sit down and put my thoughts together hasn't been easy, but I finally had the chance. To really explain what's happened to my family, I have to start with my mom. She was a woman of very strong faith in God, and she was always open with me about her experiences, both the good and the bad. Between her accounts and mine, there are enough stories for several letters, too many to tell all at once, but let me begin here. My mom, like me, could trace paranormal experiences back to her childhood. I believe she was gifted with a sensitivity to these things, and because of that, let me say this as clearly as I can. Ouija boards are dangerous. When I was about 7, my mom made a huge mistake. She'd been divorced for a couple of years, and she was going to nursing school and trying to raise 2 little girls on her own. My sister was 5, I was 7. One night, a college friend came over. They planned to relax, play a board game, catch up after we kids went to bed, but her friend brought a Ouija board. The moment I saw it, I felt nervous. I didn't know what it was, but it felt mean. I told my mom, Mommy, that game is bad. She didn't listen. After all, I was only a kid. That night after we went to bed, they played with it. The next morning, my mom was in a terrible mood, and she asked me to throw the board into the dumpster. When I asked why, she just said, "You are right. It's bad. Please throw it away." So I did. But a couple of days later, there it was in our hallway closet, in its box, like it had never been thrown out. My mom went pale. She had me throw it away again. This time, I stomped to the dumpster, tossed it in, and yelled, "Stay there," and marched back inside. It did not come back, but the real nightmare was only beginning. Years later, my mom finally told me what had happened that night. At first, she and her friend asked silly questions, innocent ones, but then the board got personal and even cruel. They accused each other of moving the planchette, but neither of them was. Finally, my mom asked, who am I speaking with? It spelled out Nettie. That was her grandmother's name. Her friend had never heard that name, and mom asked, where are you? And the board spelled hell. My mom then knew something was wrong. Her grandmother was a woman of strong faith, a very devout Christian, so she asked again, who am I really speaking with? And this time it spelled out D-E-M-O-N. The planchette began to spin. She tried to say goodbye, but it slid to no again and again. Terrified, they boxed it up, and her friend wanted nothing more to do with it, so that's why it was left with us. And that's why it became my job, even at 7 years old, to throw it away. I'm going to just say, I think that should have been the mom's job because she was just seven, but whatever.
Hang on. You're banished, child. You must be the one to discard of the Ouija board.
I know you're only seven, but I don't care.
Seven-year-olds are less likely to be inhabited by the spirits.
Because you were in bed. You do not know what happened to me last night, girl. You throw that thing away.
Be rid of the game board.
The evil demonic game board. Let's see. So the seven-year-old had to throw it away, but the haunting didn't stop. About a week later, my sister woke up screaming. She said there was a big panther in her closet growling at her. My mom thought it was just a bad dream. Later, my sister would describe nights where she felt a breeze, couldn't move, didn't know what to do, and at that time, my mom didn't connect it to the Ouija board. One night, my mom herself woke up to see a massive dark figure storm into her room. She grabbed my softball bat from under the bed and stood ready to swing, and then it vanished. There was more things. The little boy who appeared in our home then vanished. The Simon ventriloquist doll my mom hid in a closet only for me to sleepwalk right into it. There's something about ventriloquist dolls I find super creepy. That should have gone to the trash too, I'm just saying.
What? Does it remind you of
Find them creepy. Like, ever since I was little and watching someone, you know, play with it, I don't know. I've always thought they're creepy. So as a mom, she'd have been like, take that Ouija board to the dumpster and stop by the closet and grab that damn Simon doll on your way. Let's see. The shadow my sister saw trailing me after a voice woke her and told her to lock the door. A demonic face that appeared in front of me in our living room. The sleep paralysis, the feeling of being watched. Even my grandma became a target. And worst of all, one day my mom felt something trying to take over her mind. She said it was so strong she had to crawl on her hands and knees praying the 23rd Psalm out loud. After that, she was never the same. She grew depressed, angry, and self-destructive. It all spiraled further when she met the man who became my stepfather. The house was haunted too, and their lives collided like gasoline on fire. Eventually, after calling on God for help, things improved, but only after years of torment. I'm no professional writer, but I could fill a book with what my family went through. I'll share more in the future if you'd like. With Ouija Awareness Month coming, I think my family's story stands as a warning. Ouija boards are not a game. What would my mom's life have been like had she never touched one? Thank you for reading. God bless, Sarah in Chattanooga. Says no association with Richard from Chattanooga. You know, I wonder if there wasn't multiple things going on here that all kind of collided, and so the mom kind of connects it all to the Ouija board night. But, you know, like, I don't think Ouija boards are a great idea, because I think what you're doing is intending to sit down and talk to the other side. Whether you do or not is one thing, but you're opening yourself up to do that. So yeah. I don't even think you have to have a Ouija board, but I think that gives you something to focus on and everything. But you know what I mean? It's like, what good's going to come of it when you're like, you know what? Let's just open ourselves up and talk to whatever comes through.
Hey, maybe it'll grant you wishes. Who knows?
Yeah, right? That would be nice. Then I'd be playing with it every day.
Right.
But, you know, and so sometimes, and I don't always trust him either, because when I was a kid, I always felt like somebody was pushing it, and they'd always be like, I wasn't pushing it. And I'm like, I'm not pushing it. Who's pushing it? And I never trusted that, like, they said they weren't pushing it. I'm like, yeah, you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I just think that could have been the catalyst that this whole thing started from. And I think they lived in a haunted house. That could have made the whole energy darker, because I think, like, hauntings and spirits feed off of energies. So when you're more afraid, you're putting out a different kind of energy that I think is attractive to some spirits.
Absolutely.
I think darker spirits feed off of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's interesting she made her little 7-year-old take that board outside. If you'd had a traumatic experience, why would you tell your little girl to do that? I'd have taken it out myself with the Simon ventriloquist doll.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if all of that, like, there's stuff going on in the house, then she's depressed, and now you've got that added in there. Then she meets a guy, and she said gasoline on fire. That was a really bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just compounded, you know? One thing on top of the other, on the other, on the other. But it does sound like eventually it says things improved, but after years of torment.
Oh, gosh.
Could you imagine?
That's wild.
So I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it... To play a board game, to kind of mess with that kind of hokey stuff, it's not worth it. Because, I mean... Look, you could totally, like, not believe in any of it, but, like, just that outcome, that story that obviously she literally told us, like, hey, let this be a cautionary tale. I mean, just that kind of, like, even if you think something's happening to you, like, just that mindset in itself can totally be, like, attract things that mm-hmm. otherwise wouldn't have been there unless you were afraid.
Yeah. So. I just think that, you know, Ouija boards, I think it's your intention.
Yeah.
You're sitting down intending to speak to something. And with them, it's like, oh, I'm speaking to Nettie. And Nettie's in hell. No, we're speaking to a demon. You know, because you're just opening it up. Like, who are we talking to? You don't even know. It just seems like a really bad idea to me.
Yeah.
You know, if there was some kind of Ouija board that, you know, just really was all rainbows, butterflies, and cupcakes, that might be different. But this, I just don't feel like it is. I just think your intention is to talk to spirits. And when your intention is that, you can't control what comes through.
Right.
Ooh. Okay, so I'm not getting you a Ouija board for your birthday next year.
Please don't, okay. Dude.
Okay, here is a caller.
This is Tim in Ohio. I called about 3 years ago with my story of working in a haunted pool hall, which you guys used. So I thought I'd call and share another one of my stories with you. Not that I had that many more, thank God, but I did have something happen to me when I was a kid. We had a new house. This happened when I was 10 years old. So it's not like the house was haunted or anything. It was brand new. It was just me, my parents, and my grandparents were up visiting from Florida. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked out my bedroom door, which was open, that looked out into the living room, and I had a clear view of our couch. And sitting on the couch is what I can best describe as a shadow person, except the opposite. You know, I hear people talking about a solid black mass in the shape of a person. It was that, except it was white. It was glowing white, not black. And you could clearly see the outline of a person, and it was sitting on the couch with apparently its hands folded in its lap and its head bowed down, and it was just sitting there. And I just stared at it, frozen in fear, obviously. You know, I'm a little kid, and I'm seeing this in my house in the middle of the night. Didn't know what to make of it. I don't know how much time passed, but I sat there just frozen staring at it. It didn't move. I didn't move. And then after a while, our neighbor's dog that was a husky, and it would howl in the middle of the night. It started howling. As soon as this dog howled, this thing on the couch looked up, stood up, took one step forward, and disappeared. Just like that. Gone. I stayed in my bed because I didn't want to run to my parents' room because I had to run past that couch to get there. You know, so I just laid in bed, still petrified the rest of the night, eventually falling back asleep. Of course, my parents didn't believe me. My mom, to this day, she believes me now because I've just never changed my stories all these years. But she believes me. But I think it was about a month, maybe 2 months after that, my grandfather, who was visiting at the time, passed away. So I don't know, you know, what this thing was. It wasn't like I had a lot of experiences before and after. I don't know if this was an angel watching over him because he was going to be passing soon. I don't know if this was just something wandering around the neighborhood and it decided my couch looked pretty comfy. I have no idea. But it definitely happened. It's a true story. No doubt about it. I wasn't dreaming. It wasn't a hallucination. I didn't make it up for attention. Clear as day, a white figure, outline of a person sitting on my couch, heard the dog howl, got up, took a step, disappeared. Boom. Have a good one.
What the heck did he see?
Well, I can't say I believe... I'm kidding, dude. I totally believe that. That's wild, though, especially with, like, the grandfather dying, like, a little bit later. I mean, I could totally see this. Like, we always kind of hear about, like, guardian angels, like, guardian spirits, like, kind of appearing before someone dies or even after someone dies. I could totally see this as something that was just kind of watching over him, like, getting ready for his time. And, I mean, we usually associate the light with the good and the dark with the bad. So, I mean, the difference that we see here, like, as he said, that, like, it was glowing white. It wasn't just, like, this white silhouette. It was glowing white.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know why that's so specific to me. But I don't. It just kind of feels like an embodiment of, like, what we usually kind of see as less scary than a shadow, you know?
I do think it is interesting. Did he say it was a couple weeks later? And it sounded like his grandfather came to visit and died there at their house.
Yeah.
Is kind of what it sounded like to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that's interesting because this isn't something he saw again and again and again. It was a one-off, sounds like. Very, very profound. Bothersome to him. The dog reacted to it. Then someone dies there a couple weeks later. I don't know. I definitely could see how he could put that together in his brain.
Yeah.
You know, is it connected to that? I don't know, but I can definitely see how you think that.
Yeah.
Oh, that would really bother me too, especially because you don't know what it is. Is it going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes back, is it coming back for you? You know, it's like, if that happened with grandpa, if I see it again, does that mean someone else? That would kind of freak you out as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That was a really creepy story. So if you have a real ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call 855-853-4802. You can write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like advanced episodes, access to the archive without the commercials, you can become a premium subscriber and sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.